and be sure we're in fellowship and be able to be able to understand the word. Let's pray for that, that we can understand it and that we can remember it, because the older we get, the harder that is. So let's pray we can remember what we hear today that comes out of the Word of God. We got some great passages that we're going to talk about. So let's take this time for prayer. We're going to have a little extra time, lift up those who are in need of it, and then we'll get ready to start. Let's pray. Father, again, we can't thank you enough just for the fact that you love us and you sent your Son to take our place on a cross. Father, that is such an amazing love. We can't really grasp it as how great and how deep and how wide it actually is. Yet, Father, you invite us to explore the heights and widths and depths and breadth of your love. And, Father, that's what we would love to do. Father, we come to you today with many requests for people that are facing physical difficulties. We pray your hand will be upon them, and we do pray for healing. Father, you told us to bring our desires in front of you, and Father, that's what we're doing. So we would ask that you'd bring healing to their lives. And if you choose not to, Father, we pray that indeed that your grace would be poured out, and that they would have the strength to be able to go through whatever you have set in front of them. We know you won't test us beyond what we are able. And Father, sometimes we just wonder about that. Well, we know one of these days, you're going to answer all the whys when we stand in front of you, because now we just see in a mirror dimly, but then we see face to face. Now we know in part. One day we're going to know in full. Father, you've promised us that, and we look forward to it. Father, we pray that you'll be with us this morning as we open up your word and look at this very important subject that has to do with the next dispensation, the next time frame. So, Father, I pray that you'll nourish our souls with this portion of your word. And, Father, I pray that your grace will be upon us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's on there. Just checking. All right. We are looking at the millennium, the millennial kingdom. We know the millennium, it literally means a thousand. So we are told that there's going to be 1,000 years that the Lord is going to reign here on earth. And where do we find these passages? I think it's important to know that they're actually there in the Bible. Don't just say, well, they're in Isaiah. That's what we used to do in seminary when we didn't have an answer. What verse is it found in? Well, Isaiah, it's in. And we usually label it as Isaiah. And we tried to say Isaiah, and it came out real bad, just like it did this morning. So anyway, there are things that are going to be characteristics, markers of the millennial kingdom. And what are they? Now, by knowing these things, we know what we have to look forward to. Hey, we know what's going to happen one of these days on earth. We know the way the dispensations are laid out. We know we are in the age of the church. And after that age of the church is over, the rapture is going to happen, which we're all looking forward to with great joy and glee as our bodies continue to fall apart. But we're still looking forward to the rapture whenever that he who began a good work in us will complete this work in us. And this incomplete individual is going to be made complete. And I mean, that's what's going to happen to us at the rapture. There's going to be 7 years on earth where the Lord is going to judge basically the gods of this world. He is going to bring judgment on all those things that mankind worships and shouldn't worship. Because there is only one God. We shouldn't worship Mother Nature. Guess what? It's Father God. It's not Mother Nature. That's a subtle twist on things. And we're not supposed to worship water and sea, the sea and the air and the land and all that. We're supposed to live on them and live in them. We're not supposed to worship them. But yet, people have done this all the way back to pre-flood. They started worshiping things, the created, rather than the Creator. So God frequently, in different times, judges all the gods that humanity worships. And that includes the flood of Noah. That includes Egypt and the 10 plagues on Egypt, basically going after the 10 gods, the basic gods of Egypt. And we find, I think, in the tribulation, it's the same thing. Don't frequently see interpreters talking about that, but there are those out there that are doing it, talking about how the gods of humanity are being judged throughout the tribulational period. So you have the weather angels. Okay, what do? Bring bad weather. Sounds like they're mad at us now, doesn't it? In fact, Diane said he's just trying to get our attention because we're just lukewarm. So why not just warm us up a little bit? Okay, that was a good illustration there. We're just lukewarm as a church, so why not just turn the heat up? Okay, get the hint. Well, 107, still that we don't get the hint, do we? Because we figured out how to get out of it, some of us, except for Brian, it's replacing air conditioners. This is their big time of year, you know. So anyway, what are the spiritual characteristics? We looked at this 2 weeks ago, and every time I'm gone for a Sunday, I feel like I'm a month behind. Okay, and you know, it's anyway. But there's spiritual characteristics of the millennial kingdom that are not going to come about until the millennial kingdom. Because the devil is constantly trying to counterfeit the millennium, because if you can counterfeit the millennium, why do you need Jesus? See? So you don't need Jesus anymore because you made yourself your own God, which is his underlying theology, his underlying deception that he pours out on mankind. And so he talks about righteousness is going to be the rule. Satan's got his own righteousness. This brought forth in postmodernism. We've talked about that lately, where you try and make your own truth. See, if you redefine all the terms, then you can make your own truth. And Satan doesn't recognize the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. What he says is, okay, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. So you'll make your own set of rules. So in our society today, what have we got? A bunch of people wanting to make their own set of rules. Okay? And calling them righteous. And if you don't agree with them, then you are unrighteous. That's out of this postmodern mindset. And there's going to be these spiritual characteristics. There's going to be a full knowledge of the Lord. In the last days, it says, ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth in 2 Timothy 3. That's the last day. That's where we are, isn't it? Ever learning. Look how fast knowledge is increasing. Did the Bible talk about it? Daniel did in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel asked, hey, tell me what this means. And the angel said, nope, not going to tell you. Some people, as they interpret the Bible, say, well, the people that received the scripture, what they understood is what is so very important. Well, I can show them place after place, like Daniel 12, where they asked for understanding and weren't given it. He says, many people will come and go, and knowledge will increase on the earth. And then they will know in the last days. So there are some prophecies that are not going to be understood until the last days. And I think they become literally understood. Like, how can the whole world watch when the two witnesses are resuscitated? How can that happen? Well, it couldn't have happened 100 years ago, could it? Right now, they can watch it on their phone. Oh, that's not connected to anything. It's amazing how technology has increased, and from what we're understanding today with this AI stuff, it's just getting ready to start increasing. That all plays into the hands of the Antichrist and the beast and the image of the beast. I think all of that is interconnected. That wasn't here 100 years ago. wasn't even thought about hardly. Now, what about the millennial kingdom? There's going to be certain physical characteristics. And if you look at some of this Mother Earth movement and the Mother Earth news and stuff like that, and you look at it, well, they've got some pretty good ideas. I'll give them that. But it's more about the worship of the created rather than the creator. And there are people who honestly believe we need to get rid of 11 out of 12 people on planet Earth, because only about 500 million can be sustained with the resources that are on planet Earth. Now, that's providing we don't find any more resources. But isn't it amazing, and God in a sense of humor, every time they say, oh, the oil's going to run out. Well, we just found another place that's the largest oil field in the world. How do they keep finding larger oil fields than the ones they've already found? See, we've got all the stuff we're going to need to get through the millennial kingdom. So we just got to use it. But see, some people don't want you to use what you got, right? Because it would make isn't it interesting, those that call themselves progressive or regressive? And they're thinking, I don't want to get too political here, but, you know, oh, we're progressives. No, you're not. You're regressives, because you want to take everything away that people have, and you want to go to the Stone Age. You want to go back there. Why? Because it just puts off the millennium. It puts off the return of Jesus Christ. It puts off when Satan gets cast into the lake of fire. It puts all that stuff off. So they keep trying to stop progress, what is really progressive. They try to stop it in order to put it off. Because Satan knows what's going on. He knows that everything's coming together for Jesus to return and put an end to this madness. He knows it. He's not stupid. Now, I was going to say like a lot of people, but I'm not going to say that this morning. Now, there are certain physical characteristics. So what are they looking for? First of all, there's not going to be any war. Have you heard anything about a peace movement today? 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about, while they're saying peace, peace, sudden destruction will come upon them as a mother with child getting ready to give birth. Isaiah 2:4. See, this is Isaiah, only this is Isaiah. Isaiah 2:4. He will judge between the nations. Now, when you see this thing, judge between the nations, when you see nations in the plural, then the nations will surround Jerusalem. When you see those things happening, you're talking about tribulational verses that go in the tribulation period before he comes back. Now, we've already been through, he's going to come back and defeat all of his enemies. Been through that several times. But it says, he'll judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. And they'll hammer their swords into plowshares. Did you ever wonder where that was? It's in Isaiah 2. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, what are they trying to do with the United Nations? You remember, none of us are old enough to remember World War I, except Gary, maybe. I don't. Boy, this is a pick on people morning, isn't it? I'm sorry. Who have I left out? World War I was the president, Wilson. Any of you remember Wilson from school? Wasn't a neighbor, I hope. But anyway, Wilson ran on the slogan, he kept us out of war. Okay? And what did he do as soon as he got elected? Joined World War I. So he didn't keep us out of war. He also put the Federal Reserve in, a few other things that we really didn't need. But he kept us out of war. World War I was the war to end all wars, wasn't it? Then there was World War II. And everybody thought, well, with the atom bomb, that's going to be the war to end all wars. Has it been? No, not at all. There's going to be no more war one of these days. So after the end of World War II, they finally got the United Nations set up. They tried to do that earlier on in the League of Nations. Didn't work. Now they set up the United Nations so that they could end all wars. Now, how has that worked out? Seems like the more man throws human energy at stuff, the worse it gets. Okay? Like, we're going to fix poverty. Once you give people a job. You know, why don't you let them work? He who does not desire to work, let him not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So he says, and they'll never again learn war. So he's learning here that they're saying this is the millennium. There's not going to be any war in the millennial kingdom. Micah chapter 4, verse 3, he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Okay? There's going to be a war after the millennium for a short time, the Gog-Magog rebellion, but it's been 1,000 years since the last war, and nobody's been trained for it. Right now, people train for war. That's what they do, and right now, you need to train for war to be able to protect yourself. But this is the millennial kingdom. There will be no more war. But who's got to come back before it happens? Jesus. The second one, there's going to be great agricultural prosperity, but the Edenic curse will remain until the new heavens and the new earth. So you're still going to have stickers in the millennium. You're still going to have holly bushes. You're still going to have those things that are going to slice and dice and cut you in every way that they can possibly do it. Genesis 3:17 to 19 is the Edenic curse. This is after the fall of Adam and Eve. And it says, then to Adam he said, because you listened to the voice of your wife. Oops. It's kind of like later on, Abraham, God tells Abraham, listen to the voice of your wife. But here he tells Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree that I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you'll eat bread. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, because you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's the Edenic curse. So things are going to run downhill after the fall of Adam and Eve. And basically, it's because of Adam that all these thorns and thistles came out. Joel 2:24, the threshing floors will be full of grain. And the vats will overflow with the new wine and the oil. And I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Now, basically, he's saying that these things, the creeping locust, stripping locust, gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you, and you'll have plenty to eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. In Ezekiel 34, come on, throat, clear up. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. We got to keep that song handy. There shall be showers of blessing. I guess you'd notice Kelvin's not here this morning. And so we had to shuffle and deal some of the songs. And Showers of Blessings is a good, old, wonderful song. And that's what we're praying for now. there shall be showers of blessing. It's a 30% chance today. Lord, come on and just dump on us here. Also, the tree of the field will yield its fruit, and the earth will increase, yield its increase, and they'll be secure in their land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. when I have broken the bars of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. One of the things that God is doing is showing Israel He is God. And by showing Israel He is God, He's showing the rest of the world He is God. Okay, you want to choose some other God to worship? I'm going to show you who the real one is. Because I have control over these things. But in the millennial kingdom, after they get the cleanup done, they start planting and all this other stuff, then guess what? It's going to be great agricultural prosperity. Right now, people, we wonder if we're going to run out of food. Of course, we don't notice that unless we go into the grocery store and our favorite item is gone. And then we go, are we running out of food? No. We're a long way from it now. But that's one of the ways they try to control people. Okay? The devil wants to do that, is make you run out of food. So he doesn't like to see prosperity. But that's one of the things that's going to happen in the millennium. We find that animals are going to lose their ferocity. And this, look at the number of passages here. There's four passages right there. These are just representative passages. They're not all of the passages. It says, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb. Will dwell with the lamb. And the leopard will lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little boy will lead them. And the cow and the bear will graze. Things are going to change, right? Cows graze anyway. Bears don't. They graze on cows is what they do. So it says, and the cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Okay? The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. Yeah, there's something changed here in the millennial kingdom. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How are people going to know about the Lord in the millennial kingdom? Can anybody say, I never heard of him? I don't know who you're talking about? No. Everybody will know, starting the millennial kingdom, who the Lord God is. And he says in Isaiah 35, I like this. There was a church here in Oklahoma City that you might remember. Read Isaiah 35 and came up with one of the wildest interpretations I've ever heard in my life. That he was going to turn Interstate 35, I-35. Now, if you want an example of allegorical interpretation, there it is. And so I-35 runs all the way to the southern coast in Texas and runs all the way to Canada. And he was going to turn I-35 into a highway of holiness. Okay? And this highway of holiness was going to go into all the truck stops and get all the ladies and men of ill repute out of the truck stops and clean it all up. Now that he actually made the news with that, and I'm thinking, Lord, why did you let them on the news with that self-made prophecy? First of all, the highway of holiness is not on the North American continent. Okay, first problem. Okay, so, and secondly, it takes the Lord to be able to do this. So you might want to be a helper, but don't try to take charge. That's the problem here. Isaiah 35, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. There will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This highway of holiness is going to run from Egypt to Assyria. Okay, that's the I-35 they should be looking at right there. It is going to be a highway that runs from Egypt to Assyria in the millennial kingdom. And Assyria is going to be a great nation. And guess where Babylon is located? Assyria. So historical Babylon is not prophetical Babylon, because it's destroyed. It cannot possibly be. Sickness and deformity will be removed, and longevity will be increased. Huh? Does anybody in here want to live to be 200? See, it's interesting. We were talking about that earlier, that, you know, sometimes it's just time to go. we're ready to go, because the older we get, the more things fall apart. Now, some people started to believe in transhumanism. Okay, this transhumanism, when they get it all right, they're going to take all of your collected memories, they're going to put it in a USB port, they're going to make a clone. Now, this sounds science fiction, doesn't it? People are working on this now. They're going to clone it, put it in this new creature that is a clone, plug this USB port, and then they can replace all the body parts as they fall apart. Maybe you won't ever die. They call it transhumanism, kind of like Terminator. Okay? Only it's not coming from the future, it's coming from the present. And they're working on stuff like that now because people have always wanted to have eternal life. Okay? Ponce de Leon and the exploration. They were looking for the fountain of youth. Okay? Didn't find it. Well, guess what? There is a fountain of life, but Jesus just gives it to you. Okay? They want the fountain of life without Jesus. Just not going to happen. Isaiah 29. Is it not yet just a little while before Lebanon will be turned to a fertile field, and the fertile field will be considered a forest, and on that day the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted will also increase their gladness for the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will come to an end, the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all who are intent on doing evil will be cut off. Yeah, that's quite a statement, isn't it? That's a different society than we know, right? And here it is. It's going to happen. When's it going to happen? It's not going to happen until Jesus is seated on the throne. Isaiah 33:24. And no resident will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquities. Jeremiah 30:17. I will restore you to health, and I will heal all of your wounds. So, the millennial kingdom, and of course we're going to be in a new body. But even for the people not in a new body, human bodies like ours that survived the tribulation, whenever they enter the millennial kingdom, the Lord's going to fix them all. There's not going to be anybody on crutches or needing canes or glasses. I mean, we can get our hearing aids, all those things that we add on right now. One of these days, we're not going to need any of it. Of course, we're not going to need it. We're in our new bodies. And our new bodies can't fall apart. And you know what? We won't want them to. So there will be no social, economic, or political oppression. This is millennial kingdom that we're talking about. Isaiah 14. Now, when you hear Isaiah 14, hopefully there's a couple of verses that stick in your head. From verses 12 to 14, it's the five I wills of Satan. So when we go to Isaiah 14, we know we got something to do with Satan. Isaiah 14:3. It will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon and say how the oppressor has ceased and how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which used to strike the people in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger with unrestrained persecution. Now, Satan is manifested in economic Babylon. portraying himself as an angel of light. And it goes on to talk about his fall in a little bit later in this chapter. No social pressure. You remember all the stuff that, you know, peer pressure back when we were in school? You know, we tried to use peer pressure to put the pressure on our parents so that we were not unequal with our peers. That's what we did. Peer pressure, economic pressure. I find it'll be interesting. What are the communists looking for now? They want to steal from people, right? They want to take from those who have labored honestly for it, and they want to steal from them and redistribute it, redistribution of wealth. They'll close it, they'll cloak it in all different kinds of terminology, but that's what they're talking about. And so we know when they're out to do that, that's not good. Solomon in Ecclesiastes says, to take from one who has earned it and give to one who did not is a great evil. So he identified a serious problem right there. You don't steal from people. Now, are big corporations greedy? I would probably guess a few of them are. Why? Because many of their business majors went to Harvard. Harvard has developed and accepted an amoral set of business practices. Amoral means they have no ethics about them. And they've taught a lot of their graduates to go out, and that's why they look at people as a number instead of a human being. That's why the airplane seats keep shrinking. Okay? Because they can get two more seats in there and make $300 more on a flight. And so they keep, we used to call it nickel and diamond. Just nickel and dime you to death because they're keeping all the nickels and dimes. And those add up. Is that any way to do business? No, it's not. But when the public stops using their products, guess what? They tend to get service-oriented. That's the way it works. Or political oppression. Has anybody felt any political oppression? Yeah. If you don't accept the woke DEI agenda, well then, yeah, we're going to cancel you. Well, I'm glad to see some people stood up to them. Who's that great quarterback that said, I'm not taking the shot? Aaron Rodgers. I'm not taking the shot. And boy, he was raked over the coals. They tried to cancel him out of playing football. And he stood up and said, I'm not taking the shot. And now he's been vindicated that what he decided to do was, see, that part of the problem is when a government starts mandating. Why am I talking politics this morning? Anyway, I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit lead, so maybe you needed to hear that. So there'll be no political oppression. Won't that be wonderful? You know, it's going to be... All this stuff about one-party rule. Think about the millennium just for a second. Was the Lord elected to the throne in Jerusalem by popular vote or by our other system of voting here, the Electoral College? No, he took it. He is the one that's in charge. There won't be any oppression. There will be a population explosion. Now, what's going to happen when we get through the tribulation? There's not going to be many people. Because, first of all, the church is gone. Okay, that takes over 1 billion people out. Maybe. I don't know who's saved, who's not saved. The estimates are 1 billion people. And then looks like the Muslims are going to be taken out for worshiping the wrong God. And whenever we see that the kings of the East move from Asia and they move to the south end of the Dead Sea, it says they kill a third of mankind. Huh. That's another couple billion people, isn't it? So it keeps shrinking it. And really, the liberals ought to be excited. that all these people are dying. Because that way the earth is going to be able to self-sustain itself. See? Because all these people are being removed. It almost looked like some of the things they're developing would help with the plague that might help remove 11 out of 12 people to get to the sustainability of Mother Earth. Now, there'll be a population explosion, but there's not going to be a whole lot of people left to enter the millennial kingdom, because the goats at the second advent are thrown in the lake of fire that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. So all that's left are human believers. They have sin natures, but they are believers, and they're the ones going to enter the kingdom. So what's going to happen? The 144,000 male virgin Jews are not going to be virgins for long. Okay? They're going to start reproducing. That's part of what is going to happen. It says, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwelling places, and the city will be rebuilt on its ruin." So Jerusalem is smashed again in the tribulation. So this is obviously millennial. The city will be rebuilt again on its ruin, and the palace will stand in its rightful place, and from them will proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who celebrate, and I will multiply them. They will not be diminished. I will also honor them. They will not be insignificant. Their children also will be as formerly, and their congregation will be established before me, and I'll punish all their oppressors. Not going to be anybody carrying a sign in the millennial kingdom that says, "I hate Jews." There's not going to be. It's not even going to be an issue. Because it seems like the Lord God has exalted the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, the believers that are there. They have been exalted for 1,000 years. And they're going to multiply. Isaiah 60:22, the smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. And I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. When it's right, he's going to put together another population explosion. So see, the earth at one time was down to 8 people. Remember, called the flood? Down to 8 people. And then the Jews got scattered out to all the different nations. The earth has been a lot of people die over the course of history. And one of these days, he's going to start multiplying it again. There will be the need for salvation for the offspring of normal believing humanity that enters the kingdom. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. And their congregation will be established before me. That congregation he's talking about is the assembly in the millennial kingdom. And he says they'll be established before me. So they'll need to be saved. Because these people that go into the millennial kingdom will all be saved. But they're going to have kids. These kids are born with a sin nature, and they will need to be saved too. They'll need to make a decision for Messiah. Some people say, well, how would they not make a decision for him? This connects to the angelic conflict again, because I think it all boils down to volition. I think the devil thought that nobody had volition because God was omniscient. So if he made us this way, this is part of his argument. If he made us this way, it's his fault if we goof up. Have you ever known anybody that it's never their fault? Don't raise your hand. Give yourself away here. Sometimes people just don't realize that it is your fault. Okay? We have to be able to accept it. And sometimes it takes a while. Did it take a while with Adam? Adam, did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat? And he finally gets to that woman. See, look at this, the blame game. How long have we been blaming everybody else for our problems? That woman that you gave me. See that? He shifted it twice. She gave me, goes back there again, 3 deflections. She gave me from that tree, and I ate. Took a while to admit he was the problem there. Okay, there were other contributing factors, but he made the wrong decision. Zechariah 10:8. I loved. You know, the Lord whistled. This is a trivia question. Did the Lord whistle? Zechariah 10:8. I will whistle for them to gather them together. Okay. This verse connects the dots with a lot of other verses in Matthew 24. He's talking about he will send out his angels to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. Okay? Now, this is another piece of information. He's going to whistle. And the angels are going to go get believers and unbelievers from all over the earth. And they're going to bring them there to Jerusalem. Okay? He says, to gather them together, for I have redeemed them. And they will be as numerous as they were before. It says earlier on that they will be like the stars of the heaven as part of the Abrahamic covenant. So they're going to be like the stars of the heaven. It's neat to look out at night, isn't it? Whenever you can get out in a dark country, you know, in a dark part. Wednesday night, there was no moon, and the Perseid meteor shower was going on. And I was too lazy to go out into the country and look at it because there's too many lights, but I've seen it before, 20 or 30 meteors per hour coming across. It's really quite a sight to behold, and it's, again, to me, it's a picture of the sovereignty of God saying, watch this. You think your fireworks are so cool? I'll set off some fireworks in the heavenly places. Now, there is a need for salvation. There will be labor. Now, we're going to get to work? What? Well, Isaiah 62, you shall plant vineyards. That's labor. Plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. Oh, that's a place that the Jews wouldn't even go to. See, they were off limits to them. They considered them unclean. You'll plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy. Isaiah 62, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. They're going to bring wine into the courts of the sanctuary. They're not Baptist. Okay? But see, this is the millennial kingdom. This is going to be a great time. It's going to be a time of work. It's going to be a time of celebration. It's going to be a time when we sit down and eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm looking forward to that. And some of the lesser known people that you find in Scripture, won't that be wonderful when we can sit down and eat with them? Isaiah 65:23. See, Isaiah 60 to 66 is basically millennial. They shall not labor in vain or bear calamity or children for calamity, but they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their seed with them. So there's going to be labor in the millennial kingdom. And for us, it's not going to be any big deal. So I still wrestle with, okay, when it comes to the Lord building the temple in the millennial kingdom, is he going to look at us and go, hey, you guys, here's the plans, go do it? Or is he going to go, and it's done? Okay? And even if it's done, it doesn't mean our labor is over. I'm just asking, I don't know. I can't answer that question. That's one of those things we'll find out when we get there. We'll be in our new body. And we won't get tired. And we won't need a break. And we can work 24/7 until this thing is completed. So, anyway, Donald Trump thought he could build stuff. Wait till he sees this. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. Your mercy and love and grace, your blessings, your test. Thank you for giving us your word that we know what to look forward to. Because, Father, you've told us these things. We trust your word, and in them we have hope. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.